Rocky Man is a production of the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, produced by Doug Greenberg and Jason Heats. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Rocky Minute, and join our Facebook listeners group, Mighty Mix. You can also send us an email at rockyminute@gmail.com and tell us how great or how bad our podcast is. We have Rocky Minute t-shirts, coffee mugs, and notebooks, and other items for sale at our Rocky Minute page on tpublic.com. You can find our other great podcasts on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, showcasing the talents from the greatest era in action films. We can be found on any podcast app like Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and a comment. Special thanks go out to the creators of the Minute by Minute, format Alex Robinson and Pete the Retailer from Star Wars Minute. Go to moviesbyminutes.com to see a complete list of all the movies that got the Minute by Minute treatment. Thank you for listening. As Sylvester Stallone would say, keep punching.
Welcome back to Rocky Minute, the daily podcast where we analyze the movie Rocky III, 1 minute at a time. I am one of your hosts, Doug.
I am the other host, Jason.
And joining us once again is good friend of the show, here since the beginning, Craig Cohen. Thanks for joining us back again.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm actually going to back out and come back in so I can get that intro again.
It was that good, huh?
Yeah, what an ego boost. Thank you.
That's what we like to do. We like to make it a nice, friendly atmosphere for our guests.
Funny, he was here from the beginning, but he wasn't here at the end of the last show.
Whatever. Things happen. Things happen when you're recording remotely.
Yeah, thousands of miles away.
Unfortunately, the internet isn't a 100% compliant medium. So here we are. Jay's yawning again.
We're just getting started.
It's late.
Yeah, it's what, you know what? We're going to push along.
Well, what are you kind of sympathizing with Paulie in this scene, who's kind of passed out in the jail cell?
In the drunk tank Jay. Well, here today we're knocking out minute 10, which begins with a pull from a whiskey bottle and ends with "You, I owe nothing."
All right.
So we got the bottle, the projectile that it's going to turn into in a couple minutes, seconds. He takes a hit from his bottle as he walks up to the pinball machine. Now, Craig, you said last minute that the pinball machine was kind of, you know, real life Rocky being used in the movie.
Yeah.
But the actual Rocky pinball machine was manufactured in September of 1982, which was 4 months after the release of the movie.
Oh, wow. So was this like a prototype or something?
I think either that or it was something that was created for the movie.
Oh, and then they were like, hey, we've got this. Let's roll it out.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't remember ever playing the Rocky pinball machine. I mean, I'm sure I probably did, but it's not a machine you see in the wild that much. I know here in Las Vegas, there's a pinball museum, and in Jersey, in Asbury Park, I don't know if it's still there, they used to have the Pinball Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. The Silver Ball.
Yeah. It's still there. And I don't think that machine is in either one of those places. It's not here in Las Vegas.
I think now it's more of a collector's item.
Yeah.
Than a functional machine. Also, the back glass that we see in the pinball machine in the movie, and let me get to it. It shows Rocky with his arms up in the air, and the word Rocky written 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in color, going from like yellow to red to blue from bottom to top. That glass was made for the movie. That's not the pinball machine that was manufactured and used was not.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's substantially different. And it's funny. I'm looking at some artwork from it and it says featured in Rocky III. And it is noticeably different. I'm also seeing, Doug, that they made 1,504 machines, which I don't know what the standard is for pinball machines, but that seems pretty low to me.
Yeah, that's so not like every arcade you walk into is going to have this.
Yeah.
So it's probably pretty selective.
This movie was made in what year?
82.
And what's supposed to take place in what year? 82?
81.
81?
Yeah. Wait, or... Well,
don't even get started with the Rocky timeline, guys. You'll
ruin your night. This messes
it's supposed
up.
To be 3 years later, but then Mickey's gravestone says 81 on it.
So let's say it's 3 years later than Rocky 2.
Okay,
right.
Yep.
So Rocky 1, and then 4 years after Rocky 1.
Yes.
So Rocky has been a well-known professional fighter for 4 years. Does that warrant a pinball machine?
I mean, when Mike Tyson standards, came on the scene, you know.
Do athletes 4 years in, like in their prime, get things like pinball machines and video, you know, that kind of stuff?
Probably.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, you know, we could find out when he won his first title and when Mike Tyson's Punch-Out came out.
Damn right we will. Damn right we will.
The glass that we see here, Craig, only three of these were made. One was destroyed in the film, obviously, when Paulie threw the bottle through it. And the remaining two right now are in possession of collectors. Oh, also, I read that the original painting on the glass was Rocky at, like, more looking like the way he looked at the end of Rocky 2 when he was all beat up after the fight. But Stallone didn't like it. He didn't want beat up Rocky on the pinball machine, so they repainted it.
Sure, that makes sense.
It's pretty much on brand for him, too. Jay, anything?
What?
Please tell me you're still looking up the Mike Tyson thing and you haven't gotten distracted.
Nope, still in there.
They're standing next to the Rocky pinball machine is a Playboy pinball machine.
Wow, saucy.
Hugh Hefner is standing there next to 1976 Playmate Patty Maguire and 77 Playmate Sandra Theodore, painted on the back glass over there.
I take it back. You're 100% right. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Mike Tyson's career was started around 1985, and Tyson's project came out 1987. So
okay.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Yeah, we also have a Paragon pinball machine and a Flash Gordon machine. I really didn't care to look these up, so I didn't.
Flash Gordon machine.
Were you a Flash Gordon fan?
Yes.
Craig?
Yeah, I mean, the movie's aged horribly.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I was all about that movie.
I don't think I've seen it all the way through. And even then, really? It might have only been, I might have only tried to watch it once or twice.
It's... Yeah, it hasn't aged well. You're right.
I don't know if it's done, but there is a Flash Gordon minute, Craig.
But you know what, though? I'm going to say something like, one of the things about the Flash Gordon that hasn't aged is just the movie. Like, when you watch it, like the I don't know what to call it off the top of my head, like the filming of it,
the way it looks?
Yeah.
The aesthetic?
No, like the...
Well, it had a budget. I mean, it was a Dino De Laurentiis film or production.
But when you watch it, you look at it and you're like, this is ridiculous. Like, the way, you know, like, this is utterly ridiculous. But I have to say, I'm going to say something here that, you know, the minute-by-minute community might not like, Doug might not like. I might get punched in the face in a few seconds, but I was watching Star Wars the other day.
The original?
I watched the three original.
If you say it doesn't hold up.
No, I'm saying I was watching it. And my wife was watching for the first time, and I was sitting there watching with her. And there were a lot of scenes where I was like, this looks ridiculous.
What?
Yeah, dude. Like, you think that movie, like...
Yeah.
But just, no, but it just, because it was made so long ago, and everything was different.
No, but obviously. But I think the CGI, it wasn't even CGI, it was all practical stuff.
It was all models.
Yeah.
Models and matte paintings.
There were a couple things I was watching. I didn't say it doesn't hold up. I'm saying there were things I was watching and I thought looked ridiculous.
No.
Just as you would look about Flash Gordon. See? You guys are so close-minded. It's like Star Wars is the greatest thing ever, and nothing.
And
I had some problems watching Star Wars today. I got to get on Star Wars Minute, and I got to tear this up.
You know what, though? Getting back to the minute, would the bottle have broken as well?
I would think so, but those liquor bottles are such thick glass. Man,
yes.
You ever drop a wine bottle and? like it'll dent your floor before it breaks.
It breaks.
Especially those little ones, those little flask type ones, whatever. They were thick those glass, little, man. Yeah. And the pinball machine glass is not that thick.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, I also like the fact that there are little light bulbs that sort of frame out the shape of Rocky after the artwork's broken. Yeah, or the back glass is broken.
Yeah.
It's almost like the light bulbs are still saying to Paulie, you know, it's still Rocky
can't
here.
Can't break me.
Oh, wow. Good. Wow, you just went deep, Doug.
Paulie's faces before he throws the bottle are priceless.
Well, again, you almost wonder if in Paulie's sort of drunken stupor, he thought it was Rocky, but he knew it wasn't, but... Mm-hmm. You know, instinctually, he knew it wasn't, but, you know, his drunken mind thought it was.
His eyes are, they're just full of hatred right there, too.
Or he's counting every dollar or for, you know, every quarter that Rocky's getting that he's not.
Yeah. Do you notice something else about Paulie's throw? He's a southpaw. Just like the guy he hates.
I just don't, man. I don't get.
What do you have a problem with now?
I don't get how they, like, none of this resentment, like, they got into this so quickly. Like, I understand that you have to tell a story and you have a very limited time to tell that story. And I understand that you know, Rocky 1, Rocky 2, it was in 1979. This was to take place in 1982, 1981, whatever. So you have to make up those couple years and you got to do it relatively quickly to take, so you don't take anything away from the rest of your story. And they did it great with the montage. The montage took us through his boxing over the last couple years very quickly. Brought us up to speed on that. Yeah. But I feel like they didn't bring us up to speed on this. Like, this movie starts off with Paulie having this resentment towards Rocky and we don't know why. Right. And I get it. We're going to find out in a couple minutes, but I just believe it was almost like rushed, like they kind of just jumped right into this. Like, it's almost like they had a checklist of things we have to accomplish in this movie. And like, number one was like, all right, we're going to show his boxing fights over the past couple years. Check. Okay. Number two, we got to have this resentment thing with Paulie brought up and resolved quickly. Check. Done. Move on to the next thing. Like, I just feel like they kind of rushed into it. It's nothing's explained. We don't know why he's so angry at the moment.
Yeah. I actually think that this whole sequence, the main, Last Blood, commercial just came on the TV in the living room. I think the main reason that this scene was there was so that Paulie could reference Rocky getting his face all fixed up. I swear, I think that's the only reason for these 5 minutes.
That I think I did. It's been so long since we recorded it, but part of the opening montage, Rocky says to Mickey that he's going to get his face fixed.
Oh, wow.
So, but that was cut out, obviously. Mm. So it is something that I guess Stallone needed to address. And instead of having it in the opening, Paulie does it here. Speaking of the script, Jay.
No one was speaking of the script.
Yeah. So this is Paulie entering the arcade here. Okay, Paulie enters and eyes the blinking image of Rocky and suddenly loses control and flings a stool at the machine. He attacks the machine with a vengeance as people shift around dumbfounded. Get the hell out of here, says his owner. The owner grabs Paulie from behind. Paulie easily flings him off and turns like a cat. Paulie, who you touching? Who wants it? Paulie heaves a bar stool against the wall and people begin fleeing. Paulie continues, y'all friggin' losers. Only losers play that game. Get up before I break your heads. Paulie heaves another stool and shatters his own mirrored reflection. Then we go to the jail. So he really caused much more of a ruckus here in the script.
I think I like that better.
Yeah, him just...
Because it shows like an unraveling, where this just shows like, you know, one little thing. But
All right. I kind of like the transition, though, from the broken glass to the bars.
Yeah, I've said it before. And I gave these guys credit. The Jaws Minute talks about scenes changing from one scene to the next. If they do a dissolve, where it's not just a hard cut, a dissolve kind of indicates a passage of time.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, you cut right from the arcade to the jail. You dissolve into it, and it shows he's been
in there for a couple hours.
Vegging, at least. Yeah.
But who knows that?
It's just a indication.
Film nerds.
Yeah, film nerds.
Yeah, but the general public watching the movie don't know that.
But what?
The general public who's out watching a movie with their family for a nice night doesn't know that.
No, but it's supposed to give you a feeling.
Mm-hmm. You know? I think instinctually, I think maybe audiences feel it. Because a cut is more like a slap, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas a dissolve is a nice little...
I gotta pay attention. Transition.
Yeah, pay attention.
It's a movie I watch.
It's amazing the things you'll realize when you start paying attention to movies.
I pay attention to movies, but now I gotta start thinking about the dissolve.
It's actually, if a movie is well made, in my opinion, you don't notice any of that stuff until you're watching it for the fourth or fifth time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but your initial, you know, viewing of a movie, you shouldn't be following any of that. If you're seeing that kind of stuff, the director's not really doing a good job.
Agreed. This here is probably my least favorite Rocky. The smartly dressed and mm-hmm. coiffed Rocky.
And this is your first time seeing this Rocky, if you were watching the movies in order.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so far removed from any Rocky we've seen before. Right.
No. And this is not the Rocky that you fell in love with and that you rooted for. Like, this is a different person.
Yeah, but this is the Rocky we got right now.
All right. Maybe that'll change in a little while.
So Paulie's kind of like half asleep, half awake. There's no words exchanged right here, except when they're walking out, Paulie says, you know, you want to hear that I owe you? I don't owe you nothing. And it's noted also in the script that this is the fourth time that Rocky has gotten him out of the drunk tank. The fourth time.
Well, see, we don't know that. Like, That's what I'm saying. I wish if they were going to play up this little storyline of something going on between Rocky and Paulie, they played it out a little more. Like, I would have liked to have seen, like, this not be the first time Rocky came.
Yeah, I agree. Just because how does he say it? I don't know. It's somewhere in here. I can't find it, and I don't want to waste too much time. Mm-hmm. But
no.
Yeah, I think it's something that Rocky says to Paulie about it being the fourth time. Yeah, so anyway, this minute is over.
Mm-hmm.
And since Craig died at the end of last episode, you can take another shot here, Craig, and talk about Slycast, or you started talking about Mike Kunda getting the core four together again.
Oh wow! Okay, so you missed a lot.
Yeah,
sure how much did you say?
Goodness, God, it was some of my best podcasting too, and it's lost forever. No, you know, Slycast, you know, everybody's looking to carve out time to keep moving through the 90s. You know, it's going to get a little hard for us because, you know, we're getting close to Stallone's lean years. But the four of us love getting together and talking these movies. So, you know, the next year should be some good, exciting episodes of Slycast. And in the interim, you got the monthly Craig, Ryan, and Doug sit-downs where we go through a classic Sly movie that I've either talked about before or is brand new. And it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy those sessions. And we've gone live for a bunch of them too, which is kind of cool.
Those have been fun. Like, really a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am curious, once the Sly cast gets to movies like Driven and what else have we the Specialist...
Well, the Specialist, we made that our super special, but like Copland's coming up.
Copland, right.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see how the Slycast covers it, after we had already spoken about it. So, I've been going back and re-listening to the old episodes for movies that you already covered. And it's funny because, you know, I will say you don't mess around with your opinions are pretty much the same as when we recorded them. So it's not like, you know, nobody could say that you're just blowing smoke up anybody's ass.
No, yeah, I try to keep myself honest. And that's one thing on all our shows, I think. You know, we keep Sly honest too. You know, we all admire him and we're a fan of his work. But when he whiffs, you know, we call him out on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I mean, we have a duty to, don't we?
Yeah.
And neither of us
somebody's got to be his drunk Paulie.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. All right, everybody. Well, that'll do it for minute 10 and this Friday. So Craig will be joining us at the beginning of next week as well, as Jay yawns. So have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on a new episode of Rocky Minute.
Bye.
He might have just muted.
Craig, did you just mute?
Yeah, I muted.
You scare me now. Okay. Every time you do that, I'm going to get worried.